Some features of Christianity, by the very nature of the case, tend to provoke some intellectual type questions. For example, how do you know there is a God? In this series on questioning Christianity, I introduced it with that very issue. But there are other intellectual type questions, like, how do you know the Bible is trustworthy? And I've spoken about that. There are others, like, how do you know there are miracles? And that's just the beginning of the list. But one facet of Christianity evokes not just an intellectual objection, but an emotional reaction. I've had it more than once. It goes like this. The Bible says that there's only one way to get to heaven. As a matter of fact, it's rather emphatic about that. It insists that it is the only way, and there is no other way. When some people hear that, they really react. They hurl questions and accusations at Christianity like, how can you say there's only one way to God? Christ may be the way for you, but how can you claim he's the way for everybody? How about sincere Muslims or Buddhists? Isn't Christianity narrow, intolerant, bigoted, arrogant, and haughty? I had one lady say to me once, isn't it just condescending, intolerant, and unloving to go around telling people that they're going to hell if they don't believe just like you do? You ever had that kind of a reaction? This particular issue is not just intellectual, it gets emotional. Now, let me address it. The first thing I would say is that the truth is, according to the scripture, that Jesus Christ is the only way to God. Notice the way I phrase that. The truth is, according to the scripture, I think people who voice this objection seem to think that Christians got into some kind of a holy huddle and they decided that all the people they didn't like weren't going to heaven and we were going to form an exclusive company of those who do, or at least that seems to be their attitude. And they go on to think if you were less bigoted, you would get together and change the membership rules.
Right.
Well, notice what I said. The truth is that according to the scripture, Jesus Christ is the only way to God. This is not a matter of Christians getting together and voting some people off the island. This is a matter of looking at the scripture and seeing what it says. So let me begin by having you turn with me to John chapter 3. It's not just that the Bible says this, it's that Jesus says this. Look at John chapter 3 and look at verse 18. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Do you have a red letter edition?
Mm-hmm.
Do you? Do you see these words are printed in red? Jesus said this. This isn't my idea. It's not my church's idea. It's not our denominational idea. It's not Christendom's idea. Jesus said, you don't believe in him, you are condemned. Turn to John chapter 8 and look at verse 24. John chapter 8, verse 24. Therefore I say to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am him, you will die in your sins. Pretty straightforward. One more. And this is the verse that's often quoted when this discussion comes up. Look at John 14 and look at verse 6. John 14, verse 6. I am the way, says Jesus, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, all these verses, John 3:18, John 8:24, and John 14:6, are all spoken by the Lord. The John 14:6 verse is the one that usually gets people riled up. The others say that there is judgment and condemnation, but this one says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father through me. There's one other verse that gets thrown into this discussion. It's not by the Lord. It's in the book of Acts, where the apostles said in Acts 4:12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now, there are many verses that you could use to discuss this subject, but John 14:6 and Acts 4:12 are the two main verses that just simply say the Bible teaches that Jesus is the only way to God. So one more time. This is not the opinion of Christians. It's the opinion of Jesus Christ. You see, the issue is not socially determined. The issue is not what man has decided, meaning man generically, what people have decided. It's what the scripture says. Now, there are some issues that are socially determined, meaning by that people determine them. For example, the officials in any particular community could band together and say, we're going to determine that the fine for running a stop sign is, what is the fine these days? I haven't run one lately, I don't know. Is it $250?
$150.
That somebody said that like from conviction, like they are from experience. Okay, oh, that's what you heard, okay. All right, but you could say, you know, they could get together and change it. They could reduce it or increase it, right? That's a socially determined issue. There are others that are socially determined, but there are some things that are not socially determined. How about the law of gravity? No matter what they think they can and cannot do, if the Congress got together and unanimously decided three times a day for a month, they still could not change the law of gravity. The law of gravity cannot be changed by social consent. It is inherent in the nature of the law, the physical law, not the social law. All right, in a similar fashion, God has determined that there is a spiritual law in the universe called faith in His Son. No group on earth can change that law.
Amen.
So, the only thing I've tried to establish so far is that this is what the scripture teaches. Not what people teach, not what Christians teach, but what the scripture teaches. So the argument is not with me, it's with Him, capital H. All right. Now, what I'd like to do at this point is deal with some of the objections to this that I've heard. And I'm going to do this because you need to know that there are reasonable answers for the hope that is in us. Peter says we should be ready to give a reasonable answer for the hope that is in us. Well, what's the reasonable answer to this? And establishing that this is taught in the scripture, what could you object to? Well, let me give you some options. One of the ones I've heard, and one that I think are popular these days, is something like this. but I'm sincere. The idea is that Christianity's exclusiveness eliminates sincere people who are seeking God through other means. Isn't that okay? How does Christianity answer that? Well, Christianity answers that by saying sincerity doesn't determine truth. There was no more sincere man, all of the scripture, than a man named Saul of Tarsus. He was deeply sincere. As a matter of fact, he was zealous, passionate, and an antagonist against Christianity. Then one day, he met the Lord, literally. And it changed his life. So let me tell you what he wrote about this. Now, he's a sincere man who finally saw the truth of Scripture. And he writes in Galatians chapter 1, "But if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed." Which simply means that God's judgment would rest upon him. Now, there's a sincere man who changed his mind when he saw the truth. And he didn't argue, "I'm sincere." He argued, "It's not the truth." That's the issue. Let me probe this one a little bit. The assumption behind this objection seems to be that sincerity determines truth. The problem is, with that idea, is that sincerity, or the lack of it, does not determine truth. The issue is not how sincere you are. The issue is, what are the facts? One of the cutest illustrations of this I've ever seen was years ago in a Peanuts cartoon. Is Peanuts still published? I don't think so. I know Charles Schulz, the father of the author, died. How many of you remember Peanuts? Okay. Oh, lots of you. Okay. All right. There was once a Peanuts cartoon. Remember Charlie Brown? Uh-huh. Here's a quote from Charlie Brown. "I don't understand it. 147-0. Talking about a ball score. And we were so sincere. Right, Charlie. Sincerity doesn't win ball games. Sincerity doesn't determine truth. You can be sincere and be sincerely wrong. There was once a football player named Jim Marshall who played for the Minnesota Vikings. He picked up a fumble, fought tacklers repeatedly until he crossed the goal line. The only problem was it was the wrong goal line. And he scored points for the other team. But he sincerely thought he was running toward his goal line. He just was sincerely wrong." Or to bring it home and show how you can be sincerely wrong, and that can be deeply serious. There is a case of a nurse in a large hospital who changed the oxygen tank in an oxygen tent for one of her patients. She sincerely thought that day that she was being helpful. The reality is that what she pumped into that tent was not oxygen, it was nitrogen, and the patient died. The tank was improperly labeled. She was sincere, but she was sincerely wrong, and somebody died. Now, I think that there are a lot of very sincere religious people. I'm not questioning their sincerity. But think about it for a second. Sincerity does not determine truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." It's the scripture that is the truth, not our opinion. All right, that's one objection I've heard. One that is even more common today is, well, they will say, well, you know, that's nice that you believe that. That's right for you. But that doesn't mean it's right for everybody. So you like Chevys. Good for you. Not everybody likes Chevys. Other people like Fords or Chryslers or Hondas or whatever, you know? So it's good for you. I'm glad. Good for you. It works for you. Now, this objection assumes that something is true based on belief or a lack of belief. I mean, that if you analyze it, that's what's going on. They are just saying, you know, if you believe it, that's right for you. That doesn't make it right for everybody. So the idea is, if you believe it, that's right. And if you believe it, that's right, even if they contradict each other. I mean, that's what's going on. Now, let me just say very simply that just because you believe something is right doesn't make it so. For example, there was once a time when people believed that the earth is flat. Just because you believe the earth is flat, no matter how strongly you believe it, does not make it so. For that matter, just because you believe it's spherical doesn't make it so either. It has nothing to do with whether or not you believe it. The issue is, the shape of the earth is determined by objective criteria, not my belief in it. One Christian illustrated the whole thing by asking a non-Christian, do you believe in the polio vaccine? I mean, do you believe that everyone ought to get themselves and their children vaccinated? Of course, said the unbeliever. That's a great idea, to which the Christian responded, isn't that condescending, intolerant, unloving, and narrow? Now, let me pursue this just a bit further. We live in a culture where this underlying concept permeates everything. If you look at history, there was a time when you wanted to determine whether or not something was true, you looked at religion. Religion determined truth, no matter what the religion was. Then, in the history of mankind, we came upon the modern era. And the modern era replaced religion with reason. And it said, it's no longer religion that determines truth, it's reason. Now, that's called modernism, not in the theological sense, in the historical sense. The modern era began with the idea that reason determines truth, absolute truth. Now, that didn't bother Christians, because Christianity is reasonable. There's evidence and reasons for believing in Christianity, so Christians just developed the discipline of apologetics and started defending Christianity reasonably. And a number of even atheists have come to Christ with that kind of a presentation. In the latter part of the 20th century, historians say we entered a period called postmodernism. Have you ever heard that term? You've heard, postmodernism is the idea that reason in an absolute truth isn't valid. So now the whole culture is permeated with the idea, well, if it's true for you, that's your truth. You heard that expression?
Yeah.
That's your truth. This is my truth. There is no absolute truth. And that began, at least it got its name, in the latter part of the 20th century. By the way, and I'm saying to you, that still permeates the thinking of a lot of people. So the idea is that, okay, that's your view, and that's what I'm speaking to. There are lots of people out there that think like that. Then there's no absolute truth. If what's true for you is okay and what's true for somebody else is okay and they differ, then there's no absolute truth. I mean, one of the first laws of logic is the whole law of contradiction. You can't do that. Let me go a step further. I had an interesting conversation this week with a friend of mine who's really a student of culture. And we were talking about this very idea, and he said, we're past the 20th century. We're now in the 21st century. And now, it's my truth is true, and if you don't agree with me, your truth isn't true at all. Interesting little twist. But that's really the way, just listen to any news broadcast, and not the broadcast, but what they're telling you what's going on. Now the idea is, my truth is truth and yours isn't. And if you don't agree with me, we vote you off the island. So it's really tough out there. Where the way people are thinking is antithesis to logic and reason anymore. You don't have to have a reason, it's just, matter of fact, and this is my opinion, you know what I think's going on? I think it's groupthink. Mm-hmm. You identify with the group and you think with that group and you don't dare disagree with the group. Because if you disagree with the group, then you're persona non grata, you're out of here. So all of this has to say, what determines truth? Call me a little old fashioned, but I still think logic should be involved. And a little reason should be involved. Look at some evidence to determine what you believe. At any rate, that's one of the objections to this idea that there's only one way to heaven. I want to deal with one more objection. This one's really cute. I haven't heard this one in a while. It's too narrow. You ever heard that? Yeah, it's too narrow. You Christians are narrow-minded. That's sort of the idea. And then, of course, they're intolerant to not being tolerant. You're too narrow, you're bigoted, and that's just not the way it is. Well, let me tell you what Jesus said about that. Matter of fact, he spoke directly to that issue. It's in Matthew chapter 7. And he says, enter in by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life. And there are few that find it. None other than Jesus, Matthew 7:14, said, it's narrow. It's narrow. Now, we're being accused of being narrow. And it's true. This is narrow. Now, the fact that 1 + 1 = 2 happens to be narrow. The nature of truth is that it's very often narrow. Let me illustrate. I can imagine you trying to pull some mathematical trick out of a hat. Like, I deposited $200 in my bank account. And I tried to withdraw $250. Now, let me tell you about the math of that. The banker thinks you can't do that. And so what are you going to do? You're narrow, intolerant, bigoted, arrogant, and haughty. Or is the fact that you can't draw $250 out if you put $200 in? Now, frankly, I personally like the idea that truth is narrow because I fly on airplanes. And frankly, when I fly on an airplane, I want the most narrow-minded pilot we can find. because I want him to land on the runway, not the highway. I want him to be narrow-minded and say, I'm only going to land this plane on a runway. Furthermore, I want him to land in the middle of the runway. I don't want him to run. I don't want him to land to the right or the left. I'm very, very narrow-minded about that.
Yes.
Furthermore, I want him to land when he's been told to land, not before or after.
Right.
Now, you can't get any more narrow than that. This one way, not some other way, not on either side of the way, and when I tell you, that's narrow. There's just a lot in life that's narrow, folks. And it happens to be that Jesus said, there's a narrow way, and I'm it. That's the truth. So the truth is, yea, the reality is, that Jesus Christ is the only way to God. All of the objections do not change that, because those objections don't deal with truth. The issue is what is truth. Now, let me conclude by making another observation or two. You know, if you're going to listen to Jesus, the issue is not just that this is narrow. He didn't only claim he's the only way. It's a whole lot bigger than that. He claimed he was God. Now you gotta deal with that. More print has been put on paper concerning Jesus Christ than any other figure in history. We divide time by AD and BC. Some are trying to change that. They call it BCE. But it's the same thing. They want to make it before the common era instead of before Christ, but it's still the same thing. He divides history. Now, what do you do with him? I mean, you got to figure out who he is. And when you do, you will discover that he claims he is the Son of God, meaning he's God the Son. So this is a whole lot bigger than just saying we got a narrow way to get to heaven. We got the only way to get to heaven.
Amen.
Based on God. So I prefer to believe him than you.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
You got it. After hearing a pastor doubt that Jesus was the only way to heaven, my wife said, I'd be curious to know what other options there are. Thought that was a good answer. And all the other options involve you doing something. Now let's squeeze that orange and see how much juice we can get out of it. This is really interesting. Go look at every religious system on this planet, the well-known and the less known. And they will all tell you that if there is any hope of heaven, and many of them don't even talk about that, you got to do something. And sometimes the requirements are pretty stringent. I mean, sometimes they're beyond imagination what you have to do to get to heaven. But they all involve works. I do not know of a single theory in all of history otherwise, except Christianity. And Christianity says, look, there is a loving God. This is fabulous stuff. Who recognizes that we're sinners. Now, if you don't recognize that, I recommend you wake up and open both eyes. We're sinners, folks. Doesn't take a genius to figure that out. Look at the world. There's sin and evil out there. And so God says, I'll tell you what. The penalty of that is death, separation from me. Because God is holy and he wants to separate sin from himself. But I tell you what I'll do. I'll come down and die and pay for the sin. So if you just trust what I've done, I'll give you eternal life. Free. So the position of Christianity is not we're trying to exclude people. Think. Every other religion in the world excludes people except Christianity. They're the ones that insist that you have to do X, Y, and Z. And many can't do X, Y, and Z. It's beyond their ability. It is only Christianity that says, hey, God loves the world. And to prove that, he gave his son so the whole world could be with him. That's narrow? Wow. And all you have to do is trust Jesus Christ, who died and paid for your sin and arose from the dead. So the idea that we're narrow is the furthest thing from the truth. We've got the one way that allows everybody in if they would simply believe in Jesus Christ. I want you to suppose that you had a disease that was terminal. That's not hard to do these days. And let's suppose, just for the sake of an illustration here for a second, that there is one and only one drug in the entire planet that would cure this disease. And the doctor told you that if you take it, you would not die. And if you didn't take it, you would. Now let me ask you, would you say to him, you are narrow, intolerant, bigoted, arrogant, and haughty? No, you would take the drug. Whether you were sincere or not, whether you believed it was too narrow or not, whether or not you believe that that's true for other people, which it is, you would simply take the drug. The doctor is not being narrow, intolerant, bigoted, arrogant, and haughty. He is simply telling you the truth. Amen and amen. Father, thank you for revealing the truth to us and equip us so that we can be able to give that truth in a reasonable form to others, whether they accept it or not. Give us that courage to tell them the truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.